بقى. So we're up to the Gemara, the Chof, Dala Doma Beis. We're doing Chazara. Let's begin from the last line before the very wide lines begin. Tana Rabbono. Hoya Yoshein Betalisoi Ve'ino Yochel Lahoitzi Esroishoi. If somebody was sleeping in his talis and his cloak and he's unable to protrude his head, which means his entire guf, his unclothed guf, will be beneath the beged. Because it's too cold. So he should use the talis, the beged, as a barrier between his eyes. He should put it over his neck, such that there's a barrier between his eyes and his erva. And then the koyre kriya shema v'yesha imrim al liboy. And some say no. It doesn't help to put the talis over the tzavor, over the neck. Rather, you've got to put it over the lave. Says the Gemara, what does the first opinion hold? The Tana Kama, what about the first opinion? Surely there's an issue of Hari Liboy Roya Eso Ervo. No, don't worry. Kosova Liboy Roya Eso Ervo Muta. The first opinion holds that if Liboy Roya Eso Ervo, that's not an issue. It's only an issue if his Einaim can see the erva, but if the lave can see the erva, that's not a concern. The second opinion is concerned, and that's the way that we actually paskin la halacha. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav Yechana, Hoya Mahalech B'muvois Hamutunofois. If somebody was walking down a dirty, unclean alley, Maniach Yodoy Alpiv, the Kairi Kriya Shema. He merely needs to place his hands over his mouth, and then he can recite Kriya Shema. Omalei Rav Chistas, Rav Chistas said Rav Yechanan, Ho Elohim, which is always a lashon of a shvua. How can that be? Ho Elohim, im omra li Rav Yechanan, bepume. Even if Rav Yechanan would have told me this halacha from his own mouth, remember this was Rav Huna saying it in the name of Rav Yechanan. He never actually heard it from Rav Yechanan himself, says Rav Chista. Even if I heard it from Rav Yechanan himself, loy sayasna le, I would never have believed it. I cannot believe it. I'm not hearing it directly from Rav Yechanan. I'm hearing it from Rav Huna in the name of Rav Yechanan. But even had I heard it from Rav Yechanan's own mouth, I would never have believed it. I would never have agreed to this halacha that it suffices merely to put your hands over your mouth. I would not agree, and I would say you have to leave the whole mavui. Ikud Omri, some have an alternative version of this particular story that we just mentioned. And that is, Ikud Omri, Omar Rav Bachana, Omar B'yechanan Ben Shlokish. Hoya mahalech b'muvoi samu tunofo is maniach yodo yalpi b'koyre kriya shema omalei Rav Chista v'eloikim im omali Rav Shua ben Levi, sorry, not Rav Shlokish, Rav Shua ben Levi, if I would have heard it, b'pumei lo yitzayasne le. So either way, whether it's the first or the second version, but it's basically the same thing, just the names are slightly different. Rav Chista says, I cannot believe what I'm hearing over here. How can it possibly that it suffices to put your hands over your mouth? You cannot possibly say, in his opinion, Kriya Shema in a Mavui Mutuna. Says the Gemara, Umi Omar Rav Huna Hochi. Did Rav Huna really say the following? According to the first version of events, he was the one who said in the name of Rav Yechanan, you put your hands over your mouth and you say Kriya Shema. Did Rav Huna really say that? V'ha Omar Rav Huna, surely Rav Huna said the following, Talmud Chacham, Osur Loi Lamoid, B'mokoim Hatinoifes. It says that a Talmud Chacham should not stand in the place of Tinoifes where there is something unclean, dirty. Lefi She'i Efshur Loi Lamoid, B'li Hirhur. Because a Talmud Chacham, unlike the rest of us, cannot possibly stand even for a short while without thinking in Torah. And if he cannot avoid thinking in Torah, then he's inevitably going to be thinking in Torah in a place of Tinofis. So best is, therefore, not to stand in this place in the first place. So what do you see? So we have a bit of a stira. On one hand, Rav Huna, in statement number one, said that all you need to do is just cover your mouth and then you're allowed to say Kriya Shema and the Mavre Mutunaf. And yet, in the second statement, what does it say? In the second statement, it says that Talmud Chacham should not stand there because, oh no, he may be thinking and learning. What's the problem? I thought you're allowed to be thinking and learning. You're just not allowed to say it with your mouth uncovered. So we have a stira in Rav Huna. Says the Gemara Loi Kasha, it's not a stira at all. Kan ba'oimed, kan b'mahalech. We have to make a distinction between somebody who is walking through the mavui, as opposed to somebody who is standing there. The first statement, which says you merely need to cover your mouth and then you're allowed to say Kriya Shema, is talking about somebody who is walking through. When it says that Talmud Chacham shouldn't stand there, the emphasis is on the standing. Don't remain there. Now, if you remember last time we discussed, I think Rabbi Yosef, you helped us out on this, what on earth is the difference between whether you're standing or whether you are walking? Either way, you are saying Kriya Shema in the presence of this Tinuf. And the answer is, and we have to remember this again and again and remind ourselves, what is the issue that we are discussing with Bichlal? It's an Issa which is learned from the Pasuk of Vahoyo Machanecho Kodesh. And again, I repeat, we've said this a number of times, but it's absolutely critical that we're clear on this. There is one issa of seeing an actual erva. That's learned from a different pasuk, lo yiroi b'cha ervas davo. But here we're not talking about that. Here, there's no erva involved. Rather, we're talking about a mokoim matunaf. In a mokoim matunaf, that's a different issue. V'ahoya machanecha kodesh. Your camp, your domain should be kodesh. So here comes the big question. How do we define domain? What does it mean, your machanecha kodesh? Unfortunately, wherever you are, somewhere in the world, there is tinuf. So how can you ever say Kriya Shema? The obvious answer is because that's not machanecha. The fact that there's a tinuf 1,000 miles away has nothing to do with me. It's not my machane. So what is my machane? So here we're learning a tremendous chidush that the number one definition for machane is it has to be a place of permanence, i.e. you are standing there. But if you're merely walking through and you're just in transit, then that place cannot be considered machanecha. It's not your domain, which of course is a whole musa lesson in itself. We're all in transit. And if we're all in transit, then this world that we live on is not really machanecha. The father-in-law of Rebbe Eliashiv, Zichat Tzadik Levracha, his name was Rebbe Aryeh Levin, very famous Rav in Yerushalayim. He was once in a cab. The driver was driving him and he said to him, tell me, he says, Efo habayit shel harav? Where is the bayit of the Rav? And he did not answer. So he thought, maybe he's getting old, he's hard of hearing. So he said the question a bit louder. The cab driver to Rebbe Aryeh Levin, Efo habayit shel harav? And again, he ignored him. He didn't know what to do. How's he supposed to know where to drop him off? And he tried again. He says, tell me, where does the Rav live? And then he responded. He said, oh, you want to know where I live? Or you want to know where my bayit is? I don't have a bayit. My bayit is an olam habo. You want to know where I'm living on a temporary basis? I'll give you my address. So that's what this Gemara is teaching us. If you're just walking through the mavui, then you're temporary. So it's not your bayit. It's not your machane. So if that's the case, you cover your mouth and then you're allowed to say Kriya Shema. Whereas a Talmud Chacham, where the Gemara says they're not allowed to stand in the Mavi Mutunov, yes, because standing really does make it his machane. That's the differentiation between a Mahalach and an Oimid. Very, very important to point out, of course, this would not be relevant if we were dealing with a real Erva. Because if we were dealing with a real erva, that's nothing to do with v'hoyo machanecha kodesh. That's a different pasuk called v'lo yiroi b'cho ervas dova. If it's visible to you, then it's visible to you. Who cares whether it's in your machane or not in your machane. Which means therefore there'll be no difference between whether you're standing or walking. But because we are not dealing with an erva, we're just talking about a mavui mutunaf. A mavui mutunaf means it's an unclean area. That's a different issue. Machanecha kodesh. That's why we're defining machane. And it's only a machane if you're there on a more permanent basis, i.e., you're standing there. Says the Gemara, Umi Omar Rabbi Yechanan Hachi. Did Rabbi Yechanan really say that? V'ho'omar Rabba Babachanom Om Rabbi Yechanan. Surely we have a statement in the name of guess who, Rabbi Yechanan himself. And it says there, B'chol Mokoim, in every place, Muta laharher b'divrei Torah. A person is allowed to think divrei Torah. Chutz mibeis amerchatz u'mibeis akisei. So Rabbi Yechon over here suddenly is the big machmir. Rabbi Yechon says you're allowed to think divrei Torah to yourself wherever you are, just not in the bathhouse or in the bathroom. So one second, we have a stira. On the one hand, Rabbi Yechanan is telling us that you just need to cover your mouth. And here it says you mustn't think in learning at all. So what would we want to suggest? Once again, maybe there's a difference between standing and walking. Says the Gemara, V'chi teimahochanami kan ba'oimeid kan ba'mahalach. So if, once again, you're going to try to suggest the difference we said before between somebody who walks and somebody who remains permanent, but is that true? Eini, v'ho Rabbi Avohu, we have a story. Rabbi Avohu once have a ko'ozil basreid Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Avohu was once following Rabbi Yechanan. V'hava ko'kori kriya shema, and he was reciting kriya shema. Now, if he was following him, it means that Rabbi Yechanan was walking. And guess what happened? Ki mota b'mavois atumutunafois. And when he reached these unclear areas, Ishtik, he remained silent. Omar Leila Rabbi Yechanan, so he said to Rabbi Yechanan, remember, Ravo stopped saying Kriya Shema when he got to the Mavoi Matunaf, and then he turns around to Rabbi Yechanan and he says, Leheichon Ahader, where should I go back to? Because I've taken a pause whilst in the Mavui. And what did he respond? Omale, im shahisa, if you paused, kadei ligmoy res kula, then chayzel arosh. If you paused so long that in theory you could finish the entire Kriya Shema, then you've got to begin again. So what's the story over here? We're talking about somebody who is walking. Rav Avohu is not standing, he's walking. He stops when he gets to a Mavoi Matunaf. So he's clearly of the opinion that you've got to stop, not only if you're standing, but even if you are walking. And when he turned around and asked Rabbi Yechanan, what do I do next? Rabbi Yechanan got engaged in the question. Yes, you do have to go back, or you don't have to go back. One second. Why did Rabbi Yechanan simply not tell him, excuse me, please, because you were walking, you didn't need to stop in the first place. So the very fact that Rabbi Yechanan gets involved in this conversation would seem to be that he's in agreement that if you were walking, it's still an issa to say Kriya Shema. That's a steer to what we learned before. Says the Gemara, no, it's not difficult. Why not? Says the Gemara, hachi ka'omar lei, with a kuf. What does that mean, hachi ka'omar lei? Not, this is what he said. I know what he said. This is what he really meant when he said it. And he said, what he meant, la di di, according to me, had you only asked me my own personal opinion, I would have told you, lois virali, I don't hold of this. Why don't I hold of this? Because I maintain that if you're walking rather than standing, then you're allowed to say Kriya Shema. But Levitcho, you clearly disagree with me, and you hold the Svirele, you seem to hold that if you are walking, you still have to stop. So then I will tell you, according to your line of reasoning, I'm happy to paskin. So that's the end of the sugya. In other words, Reb Yochanan's own personal, private opinion is that yes, there's a distinction to be made between standing and walking. The fact that he responded to Rav Avol's question doesn't mean that he holds, doesn't mean that he agrees with what Rav Avol did. Rav Avol disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan, fine, that's his prerogative. So Rabbi Yochanan says to Rav Avol, listen, had you only consulted with me first, you didn't. But had you only consulted with me first, I would have told you that you can sail on merrily and say Kriya Shema. Why? Because you're walking and you're not standing. So do not take my psak to you as a sign that I agree with you. I don't agree with you, but you never asked my opinion. The only thing you asked me is not, do I need to stop? The only question you asked me is, once I've stopped, what's the halach of now going back? So I'm happy to respond accordingly. But had you only asked me in the first place, do I need to stop? I would have been the first one to tell you that, no, you do not need to stop. Why? Because you are not standing in the Mavon Matunuf, rather than you are walking. Okay, so the bottom line is that we seem to have a machlekas. We have a machlekas between Rav Chista and Rav Huna. Rav Huna was the first opinion. And Rav Huna says, all you need to do is cover your mouth and you say Kriya Shema. Rav Chista said, I cannot believe what I'm hearing. I would have never agreed with this in a million years. So the Gemara says, you'll be pleased to know that this machlekas, we can find a supporting braisa for both opinions. Says the Gemara, Tanya kvosei d'Rav Huna, Tanya kvosei d'Rav Chista. We can find a braisa that actually seems to back up both of these two opinions. Tanya kvosei d'Rav Huna, I can find in a braisa that supports Rav Huna. Remember, Rav Huna was the one who says you're allowed to say Kriya Shema, you just cover up your mouth. Because it says, Hamahalech b'muvois tumnofois, maniach yodoy alpiv v'yikra kriya shema. Well, that couldn't be more explicit. It's absolutely black on white in the braisa, exactly as Rav Huna put it. That if you're walking through the mavos hamutunofois, you do not need to stop. All you do is just cover your mouth and you're allowed to say kriya shema. So we see absolutely clearly, explicitly in the braisa, the exact words and opinion of Rav Huna. However, Tanya kvosei d'Rav Chista as well, says the Gemara, must be honest, we have an opposing braisa, and that would seem to be a supporting braisa for Rav Chista. What does it say then? It says, Hayamahalech b'mavois hamutunafois, if somebody was walking in this dirty alleyway, lo yikra kriya shema. Do not say Kriya Shema. Doesn't say over here, cover your mouth and then you're allowed to say Kriya Shema. What does it say? Do not recite Kriya Shema. That is the opinion of Rav Chista. Not only that, Shim Haya Koire Uba Poisik. Not only should he not recite Kriya Shema, but even had he already started, we would say, stop. This is exactly Rav Chista's opinion. And not only that, the braisa continues. It says, loy posak mai. And what happens if he did not stop? How serious is that? And the braisa says, very serious. Omer av miyasha barabrei, Rabbi Shobe Levi, alov hakosav oimetz, about him that the posak says, v'gamani nosati lohem chukim loy toivim. His person will not remain alive. Rav Asi Yomai, it's a different pasuk. Hoy Moshe Haven b'chavli Ashav. Rav Abba b'me'ocha ki dvar Hashem boza. And yet, in pasuk, if he does stop mass, Sechore, what is his reward? Amar Rav Avol, Olav Hakosvayim, u'b'dvar hazeh, tarichu yomim, u'b'zeicha tarichas yomim. Okay, so we clearly have a braisa supporting both opinions. So it's extremely unclear from the Gemara how indeed do we paskin. According to Rav Huna, all you need to do is cover your mouth and you recite Kriya Shema. We have a braisa to support him. According to Rav Chista, you may not say Kriya Shema. We have a braisa to support him as well. Not only should you not say Kriya Shema, if you've started, you've stopped. You've got to stop, and if you don't stop, it's extremely serious. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Huna, another halacha in the name of Rav Huna. Hoysa talisoi chaguro le'al mostam. As we've said a number of times, the word talis should not be misunderstood. It doesn't mean the way that we use the word talis, as in a prayer shawl. Talis just means a garment or a beged or a piece of material. If he has a beged now wrapped round his waist, muta likrois kriya shema, then he's allowed to recite kriya shema. Even though, as Rashi says, above his waist, he's not clothed at all. His guf is only covered from the waist down. Now, if his guf is covered from the waist down, we've definitely solved the issues of roya eso erva and liboy roya eso erva. So those are clearly not issues. But it's nonetheless a chiddush. I would not have thought that this is a respectful way to say kriya shema if from the waist and upwards he's not dressed. And the Gemara is telling you that no, he's allowed to say kriya shema as long as from the waist and downwards he is covered. Tani Nami Ochi on the bottom line, we have a braisa that says the following as well. Hoiso taliso shel beged v'shel oir v'shel sak. If he has some sort of beged made out of material, leather, or sackcloth, chaguro al mosnov, and it says there, muta likrois kriya shema. You're allowed to say kriya shema. So the braisa again clearly states the opinion of Rav Huna. That even if the person is undressed, waist and up, it's still mutter to say Kriya Shema. That's all true with regard to Kriya Shema. Avol litfila, that's different. Abji chase es libui. Here you've got to cover the whole heart. You've got to be dressed from the top as well. I think it's well worth looking at the top Rashi, even though when we're doing our Chazor, we're not learning Rashi's. But this Rashi is absolutely critical. Look at the very top Rashi. Rashi says, "Avol tefila tzarechu laharis es atzmoi." He's got to show himself ki oimed lifnei hamelech. But when he's davening, it is as if he is standing in front of the king. V'lamoi be'emo, standing in trepidation. Avol kriya shema einoi medaber lifnei hamelech. Those who are with us for the early days of the Tefillah Vad series will remember that this is a yesod that we repeated numerous times. That this is the enormous distinction to be made between kriya shema and tefillin. Not in any way to minimalize the importance of kriya shema. And not only that, you could well tell me, and this is actually true, that kriya shema is more important than tefillah. We paskin that tefillah is only a mitzvah derabbanan. But kriya shema is definitely a deraisa. So this is not a question of what's more important or less important. Rather, it's a question is, what is the issue? What is the nature of kriya shema? What is the nature of tefillah? And we discussed many times and in great length, kriya shema is a declaration. Who are you addressing when you say kriya shema? And the answer is nobody at all. Maybe yourself, but nobody outside of yourself. Kriya Shema, I hereby accept the Torah, I hereby accept mitzvahs, I declare my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, etc., etc. Ma'ashein came when you are davening, there, davening is not a create, is not a statement or a declaration. Rather, davening is a process in which you are actually focused on and addressing the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that's why Rashi says, even though Kriya Shema may well be more chomer, it's a deraisa. But when it comes to Shmoneh Esra, that's when you are standing in front of a melech. And if you're standing in front of a melech, a mela, you have to be dressed appropriately. Whereas Kriya Shema, as Rashi says, Kriya Shema einoi medaber lefnei hamelech. You're not actually talking to the king. Well, who are you talking to? The answer is you're really declaring it yourself. Also, I'll just be 10 seconds. So this is the critical difference between Kriya Shema and Tfilah. Says the Gemara on the top line, V'omar Rav Huna. Again, we're saying a number of statements in the name of Rav Huna, and that's why it doesn't say Omar Rav Huna, it says V'omar Rav Yehuda. V'omar Rav Huna. This is another statement in the name of Rav Huna. What did he say? Shochach v'nichnas b'tfilin v'beis akise. What happens if the person forgot? And he enters the Beis HaKiseh with his tefillin. Is maniach yodoi aleihem. He should put his hands over them. Ad sheyigmar. What does it mean, ad sheyigmar? Ad sheyigmar sal kedatoch. Does that really mean it literally? Elo, what it means is, kedoma. Does it mean he has to finish relieving himself? Why should he finish relieving himself? Rather, elo kedoma of Nachma Yitzchok. Ad sheyigmar omud rishon. Remember, we've used the word omud a number of times. Omud, in this case, means the first stream. So if he's able to stop himself, he's beginning now to relieve himself. After the first omud, obviously, he can't stop there and then. So he should release that first omud from the guf, and then covers the tefillin, and then he leaves. The lifsoik la'alta. But why can't he just stop there and then immediately, the leikum? And the answer is because that's very dangerous. Once the guf has begun to release that first omud to now stop, and as it were, bring it back to the guf, that's dangerous. Says the Gemara, Mishum de Rishum Gamliel, Tanya Rav Shimon Gamliel Oyma, omud ha-choyzer. If the guf is, as it were, has let, released, that omud hasn't yet left the guf, but he's about to. If it now goes back, that's very dangerous. Maybe a sa'odom lidei hadroikon. Hadroikon, Rashi says, is a terrible disease of the stomach. Siloin hachoizer. Maybe a sa'odom lidei yarkoin. It's another disease. So, b'kitzur, that's not an option at all. Once the guf has, as it were, released the meraglaim, or the tsoya, whatever it may be, that cannot now be stopped. But after that, he doesn't have to continue tending to his needs. So then he'd be able to leave. Then he'd leave the Beis HaKiseh. Says the Gemara, Itmar, tsoya al basoroi. If somebody has tsoya on his boso, oi yodoi, munachas b'Beis HaKiseh, or his hand entered the Beis HaKiseh. So his guf did not enter the Beis HaKiseh, but his hand did. So what's the halacha with machoikas? Rav Huna Omar muta likreis kriya shema, and Rav Chista Omar osa likreis kriya shema. In both of those cases, why? Says the Gemara, Omar Rava, my time of the Rav Huna. Why does Rav Huna say it's okay to recite kriya shema? And the answer is because we learn it from a pasuk, "Dichsev koil hanashama tahalel ka." What does it mean, koil hanashama? How do you breathe? You breathe by using the mouth and the face. So therefore, if there's another chelik of the guf, right, the yad has entered the Beis HaKiseh, but not his mouth or his head, then that's not an issue. Or if he's got soya on another ava of the guf, obviously he's not giving a bad odor or anything, then that's not an issue. Because one doesn't daven with the whole guf, one davens with the mouth. However, Rav Chista disagrees. Rav Chista, oh my no, also likreishma. Do you know why? My time with the Rav Chista, the ksiv kolat smoysai toimarano ashamicha moicha. Kolat smoysai. A person davens with all his bones, not just with his mouth. It might be that the mouth is the mouthpiece by which you project the sound, but the entire guf is involved, and therefore if he entered his hand into the Beis HaKiseh, it is as if his hand is also davening, and therefore it is an issue, we should not say Kriya Shema.
Is he talking about putting his hand actually into the room, or into the hole in the ground?
No, into the room.
Into the room, okay.
Yeah. Rashi says there's a mechitza, there's a wall between him and the Beis HaKiseh, and let's say there's a window there, and he puts his hand through the window. This, by the way, I think we discussed this last time, could be very negi al halacha. If somebody enters the bathroom, as we know, he should wash his hands when he leaves, even if he was not involved in Meir Aglaim at all. So the question is, what happens if you just put your hand in the bathroom? It's very negi. By the door to the bathroom, you got a packet of tissues. You just want to get a tissue. So you stick your hand into the bathroom, you take a tissue. Or you take a towel out of the bathroom, which is hanging near the door. You did not enter there, just your hand did. So according to Rav Chista, it would be awesome to say Kriya Shema. We pass the light Rav Huna anyway. Not only that, you have to know, as we mentioned in the past, Tosfos discusses in the bottom of Tosfos, our bathrooms as we have them today are not necessarily comparable at all to the bathrooms that we have in the times of Chazal. And this is something that we will see coming up, Mitz Hashem. We have to remember the bathrooms in the times of Chazal were extremely unhygienic places, both with regard to the odor there, both also with regard to the actual presence of the tzoya. But our Beis HaKiseh, where everything is flushed and disappeared, and more often than not, there could very well be a very pleasant odor with spray and everything else. So it's not at all clear that it would have the same halachic status as Chazal's Beis HaKiseh.
According to the opinion that you would have to wash your hands if you stuck one hand in, would you have to wash both hands or just the one hand that went in?
Good shayla, I'm not sure. What is it? Okay, we're running out of time. Okay, so let's stop over here, and Mitz Hashem, we will continue tomorrow. All being well. Be well, everybody. Have a tremendous